morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Coming up today, we'll hear the second part of that amazing speech by Chris Hedges, the former New York Times journalist and author, talking about the rise of the religious right here in the U.S. And we'll try to raise some money, too, because this is the second day, the ending day of a two-day fund drive where we're trying to raise about $80,000 over 2 days. Instead of doing the usual seven-day fund drive, we're doing a two-day fund drive. Hope you appreciate the fact that we're shortening our drives and trying to spend less time on the air fundraising. Sean Cadan is on the phone this hour. We hope to hear from a bunch of people. We were hoping to hear from about 50 people this hour. And Sean, we're going to go back and hear more of that speech by Chris Hedges. We have, during that hour, we wanted to hear from 33 people. I think we heard from close to eight people, somewhere around eight people that hour, and during the last hour. This hour, we want to hear from about 50 people, so let's see if we can do that. We're going to have to get these phone lines lit up. The signal of this radio station gets all over. It gets around the world via our app, and it gets into six counties here in the Tampa Bay area, including Sarasota and Manatee and Pinellas, Hillsborough, Polk, and Pasco County, and who am I leaving out?
Fernando, perhaps?
But if you're one of the folks that lives here in our signal area, or if you're listening online or listening on the app, we hope that you make a contribution, help us stay on the air. We're especially hoping that new people who've never donated to WMNF will make a contribution in the next few minutes. And by reading your name on the air, we may inspire other people to make that contribution. But when you call in, you're saying, yes, be fearless, take a chance, cover the issues that uphold our values of peace and social justice and equality, and don't shy away from the big issues of our time. That's what you're saying when you make that contribution. So please make that contribution now by calling us at 813-238-8001.
And this speech by Chris Hedges is fantastic. We hope people are really enjoying it. We also know that there's a lot of people who listen to Radioactivity every single weekday morning at 11. Rob hosts Radioactivity, has great interviews, and he hosts call-ins. People are lining up all hour to call into the show. So if you're one of the regular callers, we'd really like to hear from you. Or if you just appreciate hearing from new people on the show, when your neighbors calling in and giving their opinions, or if you like that you have the opportunity to call in, we really need to hear from you during marathon as well, during fundraising. Here's the number to call, 813-238-8001. You can donate online at WMNF.org as well.
We're going to hear this Chris Hedges speech right now, so stick around, and we're going to hear all of it. We heard the first half in the last hour. We'll hear the second half in this hour. We hope that you'll call us up and make that contribution, 813-238-8001. And this hour, we have a challenge. If we can get 10 people donating $100 this hour, we'll get an extra $1,000 from a generous listener in St. Petersburg. We'll tell you more about that challenge in just a moment. Let's keep this radio station on the air. With your support, we can do it. Please call us, 813-238-8001. Here's more of Chris Hedges talking about the rise of the political power of the religious right, and he's speaking about the deindustrialization of the U.S. economy. Here's Chris Hedges.
Deindustrialization and the betrayal of the working class by the ruling elites, including the Democratic Party, has been crucial to the success of the movement. And by the end of the 2 years I spent reporting for the book, I was convinced that only by reintegrating the working class into society through stable, well-paying jobs, access to good education, health care as a human right, only then could the Christian right be effectively blunted. These believers are correct in blaming the ruling elites for abandoning them, and they are correct in condemning a callous and immoral culture. The problem is that their solution will snuff out our open society. The depictions of violence that will befall non-believers are detailed, gruesome, and brutal. It speaks to the rage many believers harbor and the thirst for revenge. This, in large part, accounts for the huge sales of the apocalyptic series by Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins. In their novel, Glorious Appearing, based on LaHaye's interpretation of biblical prophecies about the second coming, Christ eviscerates the flesh of millions of non-believers with the mere sound of his voice. There are long descriptions of horror, how the very words of the Lord had superheated their blood, causing it to burst through their veins and skin, that's a quote from the book, eyes disintegrate, tongues melt, flesh dissolves. The novel, part of the Left Behind series, are the best-selling adult novels in the country, and they preach holy war. Natural disasters, terrorist attacks, instability in Israel, the fighting in Iraq, Syria, Libya, and Afghanistan are all signposts. The march towards global war, even nuclear war, is not to be feared, but welcomed as the harbinger of the second coming. And leading the avenging armies is an angry, violent Messiah who dooms millions of non-believers to a horrible and painful death. The movement seeks to discredit the rational disciplines that are the pillars of the Enlightenment, to abolish the liberal polity of the Enlightenment. This corruption of science and law, a central objective of the Trump administration, is vital in promoting the doctrine. Creationism, or intelligent design, like eugenics for the Nazis, must be introduced into the mainstream as a valid scientific discipline to destroy the discipline of science itself. This is why the Christian right is working to bring test cases to ensure that school textbooks include intelligent design and condemn gay marriage. This assault on science is especially deadly, given the climate emergency, which, if not addressed in a meaningful way very soon, will mean the extinction of the human species along with most other species. The inclusion of crackpot theories in scientific or legal debate is part of the effort to destroy dispassionate and honest intellectual inquiry. Facts that get in the way of the myth or the ideology are altered. Lies in this worldview become true. Hannah Arendt called this process nihilistic relativism, although a better phrase might be collective insanity. The Christian right has fought successfully to have creationist books sold in national park bookstores in the Grand Canyon, taught as a theory in public schools in states such as Alabama and Arkansas. Intelligent design is promoted in Christian textbooks. All animal species, or at least their progenitors, students read Fit on Noah's Ark. I went to the Creationist Museum in Peterborough, Kentucky. And the first replica of a scene that we were ushered into was the Garden of Eden with a waterfall and plastic figures of Adam and Eve, naked, but Eve was turned so he couldn't see her breasts. And there was a T-Rex with a saddle on it because, as the guide explained, in the Garden of Eden, the animals, everybody lived together. And she said, well, I'm sure you all wonder why the T-Rex has such big teeth. It's because Adam and Eve used the T-Rex to open the coconuts. And then we went into the next room, which was a replica of Noah's Ark. And she said, I'm sure you all wonder how Noah got the dinosaurs on the Ark. Well, he only put baby dinosaurs on the Ark. And it's funny here, but when you're sitting with 40 or 50 people who believe it, it's totally terrifying. Tens of millions of Americans are medically sealed within this bizarre worldview. They are fed a steady diet of conspiracy theories and lies on the internet, in their megachurches, in Christian schools and colleges, and on Christian television and radio. Elizabeth Dilling, who wrote The Red Network, a very popular book among the Christian right, and she's a Nazi sympathizer, is required reading. Thomas Jefferson, who favored separation of church and state, is ignored. This Christian propaganda hails the quote-unquote significant contributions of the Confederacy. Senator Joe McCarthy, who led the anti-communist witch hunts in the 1950s, he's rehabilitated as an American hero. The Israel-Palestine conflict, along with the wars in the Middle East, are defined as part of the worldwide battle against satanic Islamic terror. Those who embrace this movement need to feel, even if they are not, that they are victims surrounded by dark and sinister forces bent on their destruction. They need to elevate themselves to the role of holy warriors, infused with a noble calling and purpose. They need to sanctify the rage and hyper-masculinity that are the core of fascism. The rigidity and simplicity of their belief, which includes being anointed for a special purpose in life by God, are potent weapons in the fight against their own demons and desire for meaning. What convinces masses are not facts, Hannah Arendt wrote, and not even invented facts, but only the consistency of the system which they are presumably part. Repetition, somewhat overrated in importance because of the common belief in the masses' inferior capacity to grasp and remember, is important because it convinces them of consistency in time. Trump's disdain for facts and truth, his penchant for magical thinking, along with his embrace of conspiracy theories, mesh seamlessly with the worldview of the Christian right. Trump, like the Christian right, sees himself as under attack from the media, academia, the liberal establishment, Hollywood, and the Democratic Party. In this worldview, global warming is a hoax. Barack Obama is a Muslim. Millions of people voted illegally in the 2016 election. Trump and his brain trust, including figures like Stephen Miller, are Manichaeans. They view the world in black and white, good and evil, them and us. On the surface, it appears incongruous that the Christian right would rally behind a narcissistic New York real estate developer who has been repeatedly charged with sexual assault, is a serial philanderer and adulterer, lies like he breathes, is consumed by greed, does not appear to read or even know the Bible, routinely defrauds and cheats his investors and contractors, expresses a grotesque misogyny and contempt for women, and yearns for despotism. But in fact, these are the very characteristics that define most of the leaders of the Christian right. Trump preyed on desperate people through the thousands of slot machines in his casinos, his sham university, and his real estate deals, just as megachurch pastors prey on their followers by extracting seed offerings, love gifts, tithes, and donations, and by selling miracle healings along with prayer cloths, self-help books, audio and video recordings, and even, if you're Pat Robertson, protein shakes. Pastors have established within their megachurches, as Trump did in his businesses, despotic fiefdoms. They cannot be challenged or questioned any more than an omnipotent Trump can be challenged on the reality television show The Apprentice, which created his fictional persona that vaulted him to the presidency. They seek to replicate their little tyrannies on a national scale. The personal piety of most of the ministers or pastors who lead the Christian right is a facade. Their private lives are usually marked by Trump-like hedonistic squalor that includes mansions, private jets, limousines, retinues of bodyguards, personal assistants and servants, shopping sprees, lavish vacations, and sexual escapades. And because they run churches, church funds pay for their tax-free empires, including their lavish lifestyles. They engage in the same kind of nepotism found in the Trump White House, elevating family members to prominent or highly paid positions and passing on their ministries to their children. The Christian right scandals, which give a glimpse into the sordid lives of these multi-millionaire pastors, are legion. Jim and Tammy Faye Baker's Praise the Lord Club, for example, raked in as much as $1 million a week before Jim Baker went to prison for nearly 5 years. He was convicted of fraud and other charges because of a $158 million scheme in which followers paid for vacations that never materialized. As the Baker empire came apart, there were also accusations of drug use and rape. Tammy Faye died in 2007, and now Jim Baker is back, peddling survival food for the end days and telling his significantly reduced television audience that anyone who opposes Trump is the Antichrist. Paul and Jan Crouch, who gave the Bakers their start, founded Trinity Broadcasting, the world's largest televangelist network, now run by their son Matt and his wife Lori. I spent hours watching them as part of a live studio audience. Viewers were encouraged to call prayer counselors at the toll-free number shown at the bottom of the screen, and then it was a short step from talking with a prayer counselor to making a love gift and becoming a partner in Trinity Broadcasting, and then sending in more money during one of the frequent praise-a-thons. The Crouches reveled in the tasteless quiche, as does Trump. They sat during their very popular nightly program in front of stained glass windows that overlooked Louis XVI inspired sets awash in gold rococo and red velvet, glittering chandeliers, and a gold painted piano. The network emblem, which Paul Crouch wore in the pocket of his blue breasted blazer, featured a crown, a lion, a horse, a white dove, a cross, and the Latin phrases along with other elements. The Crouches, of course, would have been at home in Trump Tower, where the president also has a faux Trump crest, allegedly plagiarized, and has decorated his pet house as if it was Versailles. The Crouches exhorted viewers to send in checks for $1,000, even if they could not afford it. Write the check anyway, Paul Crouch said. He died in 2013. He tells his viewers that it's a step of faith, and the Lord will repay them many times over. Do you think God would have any trouble getting $1,000 extra to you somehow, he asked during one of these praise-a-thons. Viewers, many of whom struggle with deep despair and believe in these miracles and magic, that is the miracle and magic alone that hold them back from the abyss, often found it impossible to resist this pressure. Trinity Broadcasting Network remains home to several of the worst charlatans in the Christian right, including Benny Hinn, who says that Adam was a superhero who could fly to the moon and claims that one day the dead will be raised by watching Trinity Broadcasting Network, his show, from inside their coffins. Hinn claims his quote-unquote anointings have cured cancer, AIDS, deafness, blindness, and numerous other ailments and physical injuries. Now, those who have not been cured, he says, did not send in enough money. These religious hucksters are some of the most accomplished con artists in the United States, a trait, of course, they share with the current occupant of the Oval Office. I spent several hours at the end of the 2 years of reporting with two of the country's foremost scholars on fascism, Fritz Stern, himself a refugee from Nazi Germany, and Robert Paxton at Columbia University. I wanted to know if the ideology of the Christian right fit the parameters of classical fascism. Was it virulent enough and organized enough to seize power? Would it go to the ruthless extremes of previous fascist movements to persecute and silence dissent? Has our deindustrialized society replicated the crippling despair, alienation, and rage that always feeds fascist movements? This magical belief system, as it was for impoverished German workers who flocked to the Nazi Party, is an emotional life raft. It is all that supports them. And I believe the only way to blunt this movement is to reintegrate these people into the economy, to give them economic stability through good wages and benefits, to restore their self-esteem and the social bonds that knit them to the wider community. They need to live in a society that is not predatory, but instead provides well-funded public schools, free university education, universal health care, a society in which they and their families, and most importantly, their children, can prosper. Let us not stand at the open gates of the city, waiting passively for the barbarians. They are coming. They are slouching towards Bethlehem. Let us shake off our complacency and cynicism. Let us openly defy the liberal establishment, which will not save us, to demand and fight for economic reparations for the poor and the working class. Let us give all Americans a reality-based hope for their future. Time is running out. If we do not act, American fascists, clutching Christian crosses, waving American flags, orchestrating mass recitations of the Pledge of Allegiance, united behind a ludicrous figure such as Donald Trump, will ride this rage to power. Thank you.
You've been listening to a speech by Chris Hedges here on WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM, one of the most powerful speeches we've ever played in 41 years of broadcasting. And if you appreciate the fact that WMNF takes a chance and broadcasts a speech like this, please help us stay on the air. Our phone number is 813-238-8001. Your donation at that number can keep us going. Please, if you really care about WMNF, and I know you do, that's why you're listening, please make that contribution right now. A few minutes ago, we were about 35 calls short of reaching our goal for this hour, and we have a challenge from Gary and Jane Gibbons. They will match every $100 donation that we get from now until 12 noon, up to 10 $100 donations. So that would make us a whole lot safer and financially secure. Please call us at 813-238-8001. No other radio station in Florida that reaches 4 million people is going to carry a speech like this. So please keep this one radio station alive. You can go to our secure website, go to WMNF.org. And remember, if we get 10 $100 contributions, will get an extra $1,000 from Jane and Gary Gibbons in St. Petersburg, big supporters of the station. And Jane and Gary, thank you so much for your kind and ongoing support. Without you, it would be very hard to have this radio station. 813-238-8001. Well, here's the first donation we want to announce. Jerome Bonta from Tampa made a $100 contribution that helps us reach the match. He says he would like to thank Sean Canaan for his interview with Ashley Green yesterday with the Dream Defenders. So, Jerome, thank you. Sean, I hope you heard that.
And, I did. Thank you.
And Mick Chianese from Lakewood Ranch, Florida, made a $100 donation. Mick, thank you very much for that nice contribution. And Mick says, grateful for the courage of this kind of radio station. Mick, thank you. Your courage is also greatly appreciated. That's two donations toward the $1,000 match. Also, Teresa Segura from St. Petersburg, thank you for your $100 contribution and likes listening to the Chris Hedges speech. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Teresa, for that donation. 813-239-9663. You can also go online, go to WMNF.org. Suzanne House, thanks for your $50 donation. Suzanne's in Tampa. Kay Garcia from Brooksville, Florida, made a $20 contribution. Thank you, Kay. Thanks for making the world better, she says. And thanks to Anonymous making a $100 contribution. That's our fourth $100 contribution. We just need six more. Thanks to Sasha for that $100 contribution. 813-238-8001. Support the radio station that brings you speeches by people like Chris Hedges. Thanks to Juanita, $20 contribution. Sean, we're going to hear an interview I did yesterday with a guy who's an investigative reporter, and he's looked at working conditions at Amazon distribution centers around the country. And we're going to hear that interview in just a second. But, Sean, we still need six more donations of $100, and we'll get that $1,000 matching challenge from Gary and Jane.
Yeah, it was such a generous gift, and we don't want it to go to waste. We hope that you will make your $100 donation right now so that we can assure ourselves of getting that donation from the Gibbons. And the way you can do that is calling 813-238-8001. I can't wait to hear Rob's interview about working conditions at Amazon warehouses and distribution centers. We've heard a lot of problems up there in Jacksonville about that they're having there. And there's been debate in our community over the years about Amazon warehouses and distribution centers. And the working conditions in those places can be quite bad sometimes, and I imagine during the pandemic it's getting even worse, but we'll find out during Rob's interview. 813-238-8001 is the number for you to call in and show support for great interviews, great speeches like Chris Hedges' speech. If you like that speech, give us a call, show your financial support. Maybe you can make a $50 donation or a $10 a month donation to WMNF to help us keep bring these great programming to you every single day of the week, including our five midday news and public affairs broadcasts on weekdays. 813-238-8001.
Thanks to Jimmy. He says he used to be a Republican libertarian. Since listening to WMNF, he has turned to being a Democratic socialist. Well, Jimmy, thanks a lot. We're not trying to tell you to turn parties. We're just trying to say, look, here's the bigger picture on the world. TV stations give a pretty narrow vision of the world. We try to expand the vision of the world. Thanks, Jimmy, for that $100 contribution. And with that, we need five more $100 donations. Tony Mazzone from Gulf Breeze, Florida, made a $100 contribution. Thank you. Tony from Gulf Breeze via Safety Harbor. So that's another $100 contribution. Sean, we just need four more. 813-238-8001. And thanks to Jenna Mead from Riverview. Joined the Circle of Friends at $25 a month. Jenna, thank you very much. Loves the Chris Hedges speech. Would like to hear more content like this. Jenna, thank you. That $300 donation via Circle of Friends means that we need just two more $100 contributions. I'm going to introduce this interview that I did earlier. There's a new investigation from Reveal, which is an investigative website, and it's hosted by the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX. The new investigation is called Catching Amazon in a Lie, and it examines how tech giant Amazon, whose CEO Jeff Bezos is the world's wealthiest individual, is misleading the public and lawmakers about worker safety in its warehouses, including about injury spikes during peak times like the holidays and the upcoming Prime Day. Center for Investigative Reporter Will Evans is talking about how he discovered how at all 150 fulfillment centers at Amazon nationwide, there have been high rates of serious injury that have been underreported by the company. And we're going to hear that interview with Will Evans right now. Will Evans, welcome to WMNF. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me on.
You've been looking at injuries at Amazon warehouses. And tell us, what have you found?
We found that there is an awful lot of injuries, that they're having injuries at very high rates, higher than the industry average, and that what they're telling the public about safety in the warehouses doesn't match actually what their own data shows. For example, the data we were able to get shows that injury rates are actually higher at Amazon warehouses that have robots than those without robots, even though Amazon has been saying robots make the job safer. And they also show that that injuries spike during the holidays, during Prime Day and the winter holidays, even though Amazon is saying the injuries don't go up during those times. So we found that Amazon has been misleading the public about its safety problems, and that that injury rates have actually been getting worse.
When you say Amazon is misleading the public, what documents are you relying on to prove this?
Yeah, well, for one thing, we're looking at their public statements they've made again and again about robots making the job safer, injury rates don't go up on Prime Day or the holidays. And then we're comparing those to Amazon's own internal documents that we were able to get, a big batch of confidential records. This shows weekly injury rates for more than 150 fulfillment centers around the country going back 4 years. And we're able to crunch the numbers and see that injury rates over time have been getting worse, that there's huge spikes around Prime Day and holidays, and that the robotic warehouses overall have a higher rate of injury.
Now, we have several fulfillment centers here in the Tampa Bay area that that contribute to the Amazon network, that are part of the Amazon network. Tell us what work is like inside one of those warehouse distribution centers.
Yeah, well, the work is very intense. I mean, I think you can talk to any Amazon worker, and they can tell you that it's a very intense atmosphere. They're held to very high expectations in terms of how fast to go, how many items to process. You know, there's the warehouses can be very large and filled with, I mean, it could be hundreds to thousands of workers depending on the warehouse. Some of them have robots where there's hundreds of robots that zoom around and bring products to the workers, who then grab those products for the customer, send them on to another worker who packs it, send it on to another worker who loads it into a trailer, and it's off. And the premise of the robots was that it's supposed to make things faster and more efficient, and Amazon said make it easier for the workers. They didn't have to walk miles and miles of warehouse floor a day to find that customer order. You just stand in your at your workstation and grab the item that the computer tells you to. But the problem is they're so efficient, the workers, Amazon started holding the workers to much higher expectations and quotas. And so they really ratcheted up those production demands. And the workers have to go so fast that they're either wearing down their bodies through repetitive strain, or they're taking shortcuts and getting hurt because they're overreaching or not doing things safely because they're trying to go so fast.
Is it the idea that an Amazon worker has to pull an object off the shelf and then somehow get it into a package and has to repeat this a certain number of times per hour? And if so, what's the number that they're asked to do per hour?
Sure. Yeah, it depends on the warehouse, and it depends on what your job is. So if at a robotic warehouse with small and medium-sized items, there are rates of up to 400 items per hour that those the workers are called pickers. They stand in place and they grab the item off of these tall racks. Sometimes it's off the top of the rack, sometimes the bottom of the rack. You grab the item, you scan the item, and then you send it off on a conveyor belt. And you got to do that 400 times an hour. And they're being constantly tracked by a computer system that measures the time between scans and sends that information real time to managers who are watching that and often, you know, following up with workers who are falling behind or slower. And, you know, you can be written up and fired. Now, Amazon says it's relaxed some of those rules during the COVID time because of the pandemic, but workers say it's still very intense and that managers are pressuring them to go fast. So, it really depends. I mean, it can be if you're at a warehouse that has larger items that you're not going to be expected to process as many of those per hour. If you're on the shipping dock, that has different expectations. But in each department, the workers are held to very high standards for efficiency and speed.
400 items an hour. It sounds like a lot. You know, is it like being in a Home Depot or a Lowe's or a Costco or an IKEA and grabbing stuff off the shelf and then putting it into some sort of line where it's packaged? Is it like going into one of these giant big box stores? Is that what they look like on the inside?
You know, some of them look like that. Some of them, you know, I went in one that was much more complex than something like that. It's loud. There's a lot of machinery. There are cages, giant cages, where these robots are zipping around, and then workers are standing on the outside of the cage. The robots bring it to them, and then, I mean, it looks like miles of conveyor belts going through the building, multiple floors of workers that, you know, some are doing the packing over and over and over again. They're putting things, making the boxes, popping things in boxes over and over and over again, then sending them off on conveyor belts down a chute to the shipping dock where the trailers load up, and there's people building walls of boxes in the trailers. All of this happening at the same time. It really is an amazing operation in terms of the amount of work and coordination that goes into it.
Will Evans is our guest. He's a reporter with the Center for Investigative Journalism, and we're talking about a new investigative piece that he's done about Amazon and working conditions at Amazon warehouses across the country. And the piece is published in the Seattle Times, the Denver News, and the Daily Beast, and this is WMNF in Tampa. So, Will, what kind of injuries are we talking about?
Most of the injuries are things like throwing out your back, tendonitis, carpal tunnel, shoulder injuries, knee injuries, head injuries that can be concussions. But these are often repetitive stress injuries that if the worker keeps working at that pace, they get worse and worse and can be they can be lifetime pain, basically. I've talked to a lot of workers who are can no longer work. They had to leave Amazon because of their injury, and they can't find another job because of their injuries that won't go away. So these can be very debilitating injuries, but they're often musculoskeletal injuries that have to do with ergonomics, with doing the same motion over and over and over again, or lifting too much over and over again, and sometimes going so fast that something falls and hits you over the head.
The latest Amazon facility here in the Tampa Bay area just opened up in Temple Terrace, which is a city near us, and they tout that they're paying workers there $15 an hour, and that they have a benefits package. Tell me about the compensation that the workers get. Is it worth it, given the fact that if they've got to make 400 picks an hour, it sounds like a lot, is $15 an hour good pay for what they do?
I think it depends on who you ask. You know, I've definitely talked to workers who say, look, I love the pay, I love the benefits, but now I'm injured and I can't even work that job anymore. So it wasn't worth it. You know what I mean? I mean, I talked to one young woman who said that she's worried, the pain in her hands is so bad, she's worried that when she has kids, she won't be able to pick them up. And she was one of those people who said, look, I love the pay and the benefits, but it was a mistake. And so there are other workers, of course, who don't get injured and who may not have a problem hitting those rates, or who don't have a problem yet, but who are there for the benefits and the pay. But that is the question. If you get injured in a way that's going to affect the rest of your life, is it worth it?
In some ways, are these workers competing with robots, or forced to work faster because they're working alongside robots?
They're definitely having to work faster because they're with robots. I mean, the robots make it more efficient, and make the robots themselves aren't deciding anything. It's the company that is using the robots to make everything faster. So the company can require much more of the workers because the robots are bringing them things and are so efficient that back before the robots came, a picker would have to pick out, say, around 100 items an hour. And as soon as the robots came, it more than doubled. And then it kept getting higher and higher and higher, and now you're seeing rates of 400 items an hour. So that gives you an example of how the robots enabled this faster pace that then caused a cascade of injuries from doing those repetitive motions and working at that speed.
As I mentioned, we have several Amazon fulfillment centers here in the Tampa Bay area. We used to get calls from workers inside those centers talking about how bad the working conditions were, and this goes back a few years. Those calls to us have dried up. I just wondered, what are the workers told about talking to the press?
Oh, they're not supposed to talk to the press, definitely. Especially if you're a current worker. I have not met a current worker who was not scared of talking to the press. I have talked to some people. I actually quoted some people in my story, but that doesn't mean that they weren't worried about it. It's hard to find people who are willing to, even people who don't work there anymore, some of them are nervous about talking to the press. So, Amazon says that workers can talk to the press about their working conditions, but the workers are getting a different message, and they are scared to speak out about it for the most part.
We're talking about working conditions inside those Amazon warehouses, those giant warehouses that are all around the country. There are 150 of them around the country. Will Evans is our guest. He's a reporter for the Center for Investigative Journalism, and this is WMNF in Tampa. Will, 150 fulfillment centers around the country. How many workers are we talking about who are employed by Amazon doing this kind of work?
We know there's more than 250,000. That's what Amazon says. It's hard to get an exact number because many of them are brought in as seasonal workers during their peak times, like around Prime Day or the holidays. And so it's difficult to figure out how to count that. I mean, some of these warehouses, their workforce doubles during those times. But there's also a lot of turnover. They churn through people. People drop out because they can't handle it or because they get injured. So there's a tremendous amount of workers who are going through these things. It's actually the second biggest private employer in the U.S.
At a factory or a business that's large, usually they have a union, and that union you can go to if you've got a complaint about the working conditions or if you think it's dangerous. Or the other thing you can do is maybe call out to the Department of Labor, either the State Department of Labor or the Federal Department of Labor. Are there unions at Amazon, and do the federal agencies that regulate workplace safety, do they come into play at Amazon?
There are not unions at Amazon. There are some organizing efforts, but Amazon has been firmly anti-union, and there is not a current union representing Amazon workers. There have been some walkouts of late, especially around conditions relating to the pandemic, and some protests and some petitions. The Federal Workplace Safety Agency, I guess you could say that there have been some inspections. The citations when they come out are not particularly strong, but Amazon has been cited here or there. I mean, one thing we found is that there's no federal regulation for speed, for ergonomic injuries. So you can have a warehouse that has a tremendous number of injuries, and that's not going to get that's not going to get cited by the federal government because there's no standard to measure it against.
Will Evans is our guest. He's with the Center for Investigative Journalism, and this is WMNF in Tampa. So, Will, those were my questions. Is there anything else that you want to point out about your investigation into workplace safety at Amazon?
Well, I'll just say that, we try to get an interview with Amazon and sent a long list of detailed questions, and Amazon declined to directly answer any of them, but sent us a statement saying that nothing is more important than the safety and health of its team, and that it invests a lot of money in workplace safety initiatives and that they're working.
Prime Day is coming up, and a lot of people are at home shopping from Amazon these days. If you're worried about the way workers are treated, do you think Amazon is an employer that respects workers' health and safety?
All I can say is, look, here are the numbers. They've been going up. They've been getting worse overall for Amazon. Amazon says it is an employer that cares about health and safety and that it puts a lot of money in for safety initiatives. But over the last 4 years, the rate of serious injuries has been going up. And last year, it was nearly double the industry average. So I guess you got to judge for yourself on that.
Will Evans, thanks for coming on WMNF.
All right. Thank you.
That's Will Evans, who is an investigative reporter. He works for the Center for Investigative Reporting and also the Center for Investigative Journalism. His story about the high injury rate at Amazon is at revealnews.org, revealnews.org. Reveal is a Pulitzer Prize finalist and has won many broadcast journalism awards, including a DuPont and 3 national Emmys. Well, you're listening to Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa. If you enjoy listening to the program and find that you learned something, please help us stay on the air, because you know there is no radio station like WMNF on the radio here in the Tampa Bay area, with a big signal that reaches 4.4 million listeners. You can travel over to Disney World. You can go up past Brooksville. You can go to Venice and a little bit further south and hear this signal all over the Bay Area, including the beaches, Indian Rocks Beach and Clearwater and St. Pete Beach and all of downtown St. Petersburg. It's a powerful signal, and you're supporting the radio station that gets the word out about the issues that you care about. So please help us amplify the signal. Keep us on the air with your contribution. The number to call, 813-238-8001. We had a challenge a few minutes ago from Gary and Jane Gibbons. They said if we got 10 $100 donations or more, they would match it with $1,000. So we'll see how close we are. Sean Canan is on the phone with us, and Sean, during this hour, we had hoped to hear from about 50 people. We have heard from, I think, 40 people so far. We're going to thank some of them in just a moment. I think we're 10 phone calls away from getting that call goal.
Well, we can really do it then. There are 10 people out there who support Radioactivity. I know it. I know you're out there, and I know that you can make your financial support by calling 813-238-8001. Support the great interviews that Rob does every weekday morning at 11 on Radioactivity. And the thought that this goes out to all of the people in the Tampa Bay area, you have access to WMNF. All they have to do is switch on their car radio or turn on the phone app or however they listen. This is information that is going out to your neighbors. It's not just you that gets to hear this. The whole community gets this information. 813-238-8001 or WMNF.org. Can we get 10 more people to call in right now? You can also make a donation on the phone app, the WMNF app, or, of course, if you want to talk to one of our great phone answers, 813-238-8001.
Sean, here are the people that have called in the last few minutes to support public affairs on WMNF. Tom Bauer from Clearwater has made a $200 donation. That means, Sean, that we need just one more $100 contribution. We'll get that $1,000 match. Tom, thank you very much for that nice contribution. He says MNF is probably one of the best news sources in Florida. Tom, that's we're honored that you would tell us that. Thank you. And remember, we just need one more $100 contribution and we'll get the match. Thanks to TJ Universal. They just joined the Circle of Friends on a $30 a month donation. Wow, I think that's right. Yeah, $30 a month. Loves all the news and public affairs, and they're new to Tampa Bay. So thanks to TJ Universal for that nice contribution. The number to call again, 813-238-8001. Looks like we got the match because Dave Sturba from Wesley Chapel just made a $100 contribution. Thank you, Dave, for that nice contribution. And thanks to Kay Roberts from Bradenton, made a donation of $120. And thank you, taking the MNF face mask. Thanks to Anonymous in St. Petersburg, a $25 donation. Thanks to Anonymous in Ocala, a $35 donation. Remember, you can donate online at WMNF.org. And we are looking for just, I've still got a stack of callers that have called in the last few minutes. We're just looking with the calls on the line right now. We're taking three phone calls right now. We just need seven more donations at this hour. Mark Scheidel from St. Petersburg, $100 contribution. Thank you very much, Mark, and says, please continue the most informative information in our area. Thank you from Mark. Nomi Homie, I think he calls himself. Lana Bruce from Bradenton made a $100 contribution, says, keep up the great work. Thank you, Lana. Anonymous made a $100 contribution, taking the MNF face mask, says, keep up the good work. We have a lot to lose with the upcoming election. Heed the warning of Chris Hedges and vote, writes Anonymous. Another Anonymous made a $100 contribution, this one from Riverview. Terry and Steve Stottlemyre made a $100 contribution. Thank you, both of you. Thank you very much. 813-238-8001. And Terry and Steve say, watch the supervisors of elections offices. Okay. Terry and Steve, thank you very much. Carol Pellegrino from Tampa made a $50 contribution. Thank you, Carol. You're keeping us going. Thanks to Anonymous in St. Petersburg for a $35 contribution. Rufus Simpson from Brooksville made a $120 donation via Circle of Friends, $10 a month. Loves all the public affairs, says Rufus. Thank you very much. And again, we with the calls on the line, we're just seven calls away from reaching our goal for this hour. We have a we have about 6 minutes to go before the NPR news. Your hero, Mark Bureau, is coming up in the next hour or two. Leanne Benatti from Tampa made a $100 contribution. Thank you, Leanne. And Andrew Cabot from St. Petersburg is one of our heroes, taking a WMNF T-shirt and says, where are you going to hear such great speeches as well as information available literally nowhere else but here on WMNF? Andrew, thank you for that vote of support for us, and thanks for helping us stay on the air. Anonymous in Mulberry, Florida, just made a $25 contribution. And Mike and Susan Royal from Anna Maria Island made a $100 contribution. They're big supporters. Thank you very much, Susan and Mike in Anna Maria Island. Johnny Green made a $100 contribution from St. Petersburg. Johnny, thank you. And Kathleen from Dunedin, $100 contribution. Thank you. And she listens to Marcy's show recently discovered The Freak Show, which is on Tuesday night. That's one of the top 10 great shows on MNF, The Freak Show tonight at 6 o'clock. And thanks to Nancy Spina, made a $100 contribution. Nancy, thank you very much. First-time member, I enjoy everything. I think it's very worthwhile to support. Sean, we just need three more donations of... Or actually seven more donations of any amount, and we'll reach our call goal for this program.
That's great, and it's especially great to hear from new donors, people who have never contributed to their community radio station before becoming members, and you'll get hooked. It's great. You probably don't have to spend to break the bank to be a supporter, but if you can afford $5 a month or $10 a month, or maybe just a one-time donation of $35 for a basic membership, or maybe you'd like the T-shirt for an $88.50 contribution. But it takes a village. We need all of us coming together right now to make whatever donation you can and to support it, and to think that we only need seven more people by between now and the top of the hour to call 813-238-8001, and we'll make the call goal for this hour. That's so exciting. It would really boost the support of the news and public affairs in the eyes of the station. We really want to know that there is support out there for news and public affairs. 813-238-8001.
And if you're a new listener, too, you may have scratched your head and listened to the station for a while and realized, well, they play three songs in a row, and then they talk for a little bit, and then they play three or four or five songs in a row, and then I never hear a commercial. Or you might hear these talk shows, and we never break for a commercial during the talk show. Well, what you're listening to is the sound of how we fund ourselves. You're listening to the sound of great local people who say, yes, we think that there should be a non-commercial community radio station in Tampa Bay that brings terrific music and terrific news and public affairs. And so this is how we stay on the air with these donations that you're hearing right now. These are the heroes. These are the people. If you've never made a contribution, you should thank these people for making a contribution to WMNF, because without these people, this station would not be here. So we thank everybody whose name is being read as we go to our goal of $80,000 over 2 days. The fund drive ends tonight, won't be here tomorrow. We won't be asking you for money tomorrow. We're trying to do this very quickly. Thanks to Kathy and Dave Simone from Valrico, made a $100 contribution, taking a WMNF T-shirt. Kathy and Dave, thank you. That's really nice of you to say. Renata Taylor from Sarasota made a $10 contribution. Thank you very much. Loves Chris Hedges. Thank you. Kathleen Oxhorn from Tampa made a donation of $100. Kathleen, great to hear from you. Thank you. And Anonymous is calling from Bradenton, made a $40 contribution. That's terrific. Sean, we just need now six more donations to reach our call goal, and we have about 2 minutes to go. And the number to call is 813-238-8001, or you can make your contribution online at WMNF.org. And we understand if you want to hold your donation and hold it for your hero, Mark Biro, he's coming up in the next hour. He's got a big goal to raise, too. So be sure to let Mark know that you appreciate him, especially if he's your favorite show. Let him know by making that contribution during Mark's show. So stick around. We're going to get the news on in just about 2 minutes.
And right now you can support Radioactivity, and the most important thing is to make a donation of whatever you can afford. Some people right now are going through economic trouble, and if you can't donate right now, we understand. That's completely understandable. But for those of us who are gainfully employed, have some income that we can spend, maybe a $20 a month contribution or a $10 a month contribution to help others who can't donate right now. They'll get back on their feet. They'll be able to donate maybe very soon, we hope. But right now, you can make a donation to help support other people who can't support the station. Can you call in right now, 813-238-8001, and to help keep community radio on the air and going strong in Tampa Bay?
Thanks to Ernie Wynn from Bradenton, made a $50 contribution. Ernie, thank you, and says, loves Alternative Health and Democracy Now! And some of the other public affairs shows. Ernie, nice to hear from you. And Ann and Nancy Flanagan from St. Petersburg have made a $200 contribution. They say, keep doing what you're doing. We try to battle unreality with reality. So Ann and Nancy, thanks for that generous contribution. Sean, we're now just five donations away from reaching the goal for this hour. We're very close. We did get the $1,000 match from from Gary Gibbons. So thank you very much. But we just need 5 more donations this hour to reach our call goal. The number to call, 813-238-8001.
You can also donate on the web at WMNF.org or hit the support button on the WMNF app.
All right, let's take a break and get the news. But your hero, Mark Biro, will be along in just a moment. Sean, we just need 3 more donations because Lester and Vivian Hawthorne just made a $100 contribution. Thank you very much. And Anonymous made a donation of $600. So we are very close, just a few calls away. This is WMNF Tampa.